For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Everyone. Hi, friends. Welcome back to Barb Knows Best, the podcast. It is me, Michelle, your co-host, and I am yet again sitting here with my lovely mother, Barb, and we're so thrilled to be chatting with you this week about life's most interesting and meaningful and often complicated topics. This week is no different. Hi, Mom.
Hi, Michelle.
How are you doing this fine day?
I'm feeling fantastic.
Oh, I believe you when you say that.
Yeah, I'm feeling really, really good. And I love how you just introduced it, life's most complicated topics.
Well, I added that little extra adjective because you and I have been having a lot of conversations lately about topics and content. We've been hinting about some fun changes that we're going to be making to the show and just some new things that are going to be happening. So just a lot of conversations have been had lately, and we had a conversation yesterday about, you know, what are the most listened to episodes? What are the topics that you all seem to really gravitate towards, even on social media as well? What are the topics you talk about there that are the most engaged with? And we've noticed that it's funny, you all often tend to gravitate towards the more negative, I guess, if I had to say, topics. Like, I think our all-time episode is about disrespect, how to manage disrespect, living drama-free, I think, is another one, managing toxic relationships. And that also seems to apply to social media. So we get it, though, because life is difficult, as we've talked about so often. These times that we live in are super difficult and challenging. And so it makes sense that if we're talking about complicated and difficult topics, that's going to resonate. And all that to be said, this week's episode is no different. We're going to tackle a beefy, challenging aspect of life that's been up for both of us recently, but just in general in our lives. And I'm sure it's something that you all have experienced or are grappling with because it's hard. And so take it away, Mom.
Well, I just wanted to comment a little bit on what you said. That's really is the whole impetus of why you and I decided to do a podcast. And you said, Mom, we need to talk about our own experiences. Let's do a podcast. Because life is complicated, difficult, traumatic, really, really hard. And so we experience all of the same things that you do. The fact that you gravitate toward, you know, disrespect, mistrust, you know, setting boundaries, drama-free, you know, toxic relationships, all those things is the same thing that we go through. So what I love so much about being here in community with all of you listening is that we are the same. We're all in the same boat. And so it is a passion of ours to share with all of humanity so that we all can come together and heal and grow and be the loving, amazing, extraordinary people that we are. So I'm just grateful that we can talk about these very difficult, very complicated topics with all of you. And I'm grateful that you're here. Mm-hmm. So we really love you so, so much. And today is, as Michelle said, is no different. Today we're going to tackle betrayal and rebuilding trust.
Mm.
This is huge. Oh,
my
gosh.
That's a big one.
You know, we've had so many, you know, complicated things happening recently. We've talked about many of them on the show. But this one in particular has kind of been building, and it's kind of a play on words, has been building, and the rebuilding of trust today we're going to talk about. And betrayal, it's huge. And I think all of you listening can relate to, at some point in every single person's life, we will have experienced betrayal by another person or people. And how do we rebuild the trust in it? Or do we rebuild the trust in that person? And do we move on? But how do I think today I'm really excited to talk about, because it's been up for me over the past several months with some of the complicated things we've had that we'll talk about going on in our lives recently. How do you rebuild the trust with ourselves? How do you not let a betrayal of another person erode the trust and the love and the care that you have for yourself? How do you move through that and not blame yourself or not take it on so personally, which is has been my tendency? And then if it's really a bad betrayal or someone that I'm just so shocked at, then I take it on so personally sometimes in my feelings that I think I'm the problem.
Yes, you know, that is a pattern for you.
It is a pattern for me. And I think what I love about sharing with all of you, and it is why I love our life so much, Michelle, in many ways, in the work that we do with Peace of Mind, Peaceful Life, and on social media and in the world, is that we get to play out all of the elements of moving through all of the dysfunction that can happen in all of our lives. And this happens to be one that has taken me several months to move through a few betrayals that have happened, and how do I build the trust and not let it erode myself and the care that I have for myself.
Yeah, so well said, Mom. And as always, I feel like I say this every episode, you know, you and I chat a bunch before we hit record. And I often feel like it's in those chats that I'm just like, can you just let me hit record now? Because you're saying so many good things. But as we were talking before we did hit record, it was interesting to listen to you, Mom, talk about, you know, you being in your 60s and as someone who has experienced quite a lot of trauma in your life, what it's looked like to rebuild trust, and that it is possible to rebuild trust. But even through all of your practices and all of your experiences and all of your commitment to healing and therapy and all of those things, life is going to happen, and it's going to give us situations or circumstances that is maybe going to take us down a notch again, or break that trust again, or disappoint us again. And I think that's important to say, because we do say it often on the show, but healing or personal development or building a foundation within yourself is not meant to become perfect, as we know, or to build up the expectation that difficulty is never going to happen to us again once we nail this thing about being humans. It's like you say often, Mom, you know, it's about the recovery time. And so I love we're having this conversation about trust at this moment in time in our lives, because like you said, Mom, again, you've had some instances lately as a woman in your 60s, and you're not letting it devastate you or completely take you out or harden you and make you believe that just, wow, here I am after all of these decades of practice, after all of this work, what's the point? And I think that is the point of today's episode. And I'm really excited to talk about it with you, as always.
Well, I think you're right, Michelle. As a 68-year-old woman, and having, I mean, if you've listened to the shows, you kind of know some of the betrayals. I don't know if I've ever called it betrayal in the shows, but some of the really deep things that I've been through in my life for the past 68 years. But the crux of that is exactly what you said. I can't shut myself down. I don't want to stop loving. I don't want to stop trusting. I want to keep my heart open. So I go through a process, which sometimes can be, most of the time is very painful, depending on the level of betrayal and the level of mistrust. But I never want to get to a place where I can, you know, I used to say, why would someone hurt me like this? Of course we have those internal dialogues, but I don't want to get to a place when I say things like that to myself as we're going through the process of a betrayal or a sense of you know, really that someone has not only betrayed us, but has eroded our trust and made us feel like, oh my gosh, what the heck just happened? I don't want to get to a place where it starts, I start blaming myself, I start doubting myself, I start having a deep level of shame. And it starts becoming so damaging to the relationship that I have with myself, because that is the thing that we talk about and kind of the foundation of a lot of the self-care work that we do. The relationship that we have with ourselves is the foundation of every single thing that we do in life.
So you said something interesting that I was chomping at the bit to jump in on when talking about trust and or rebuilding trust or recovering and healing from betrayal. Is you mentioned that, you know, you're committed to not letting it harden you and to being open to relationships and loving people and trusting people. So I think before we even dive into, you know, the effects of betrayal and the feelings and emotions and healing and all of that, I think it's important to start with that foundation of values and what you want for your life, because that is something that matters to you. And so when difficult things happen to you, you're not going to be so quick to give up on it. And so, you know, I think for many of us, we crave relationships and support and community and being seen and heard and understood by people and by ourselves, of course. And so acknowledging and reminding ourselves that is something that we value and that it is something that we want for our lives can help us be more open and resilient when things get tough, especially in the relationship sphere. Would you agree, or how would you speak to that, Mom?
I love that, Michelle. I believe strongly that we as humans have the desire to belong.
Mm-hmm.
All of
us. Like Brene Brown is a big, she's a great person who talks about that.
Yes. I learned it. You know, you all know I've been into treatment for bulimia in 1984 and learned meditation, mindfulness, self-care, and really included in all of those things, I learned how to actually start having a relationship with myself. Because I've talked about before, I didn't think back then that I mattered. Mm-hmm. So for 40 years, I have been practicing having a relationship with myself, all the ups and downs that entails. And I think the biggest thing that I've learned is that, yes, we want to belong. It is inherent, I think. It is an inherent trait or quality of being human.
I think what's unique about the belonging is we get to decide where we feel like we want to belong. But I think, yes, all of us want to feel like we have somewhere that we fit.
And beautifully said, Michelle. And I think for me, what I've realized over the past 40 years, little by little by little, you know, life is a process. I think it's a journey. And really, it's not the end. It's the journey along the way is what I've really discovered over these 40 years. But the biggest thing I've learned is we have to belong to ourselves first.
Mm-hmm.
We must belong to the love and the care and the strength. And then you can take it that to God or higher power or source or whatever that means for you. But we must belong internally first. We cannot just rely on the external world if that's where we think our belonging is going to come from. That human need or the human trait of all of us that we want to belong, if we're going to rely only on the external world, other people, other places, other things, we will always fall short and we will always have difficulty then really caring for ourselves and thinking that we do matter, because we will always, someone and something and some place is always going to betray us out there at some point. It's just the way it is, I've learned. So if we belong to ourselves first, it becomes the foundation then for how we work through and deal with the betrayals and the mistrust and the broken hearts that we have along the way from other people. So that's the key. For me, it's been that. But that doesn't mean, even though that is the foundation of how I go through betrayal and mistrust, it doesn't mean that I don't go in a rabbit hole like I have lately, because it feels like there's been so much of it in such a compact, short amount of time that I don't go into a rabbit hole in my life where I've said, oh my gosh, what did I do wrong? What is wrong with me? Oh my gosh, this is all my problem. Oh, how could I be 68 years old and not have known this? You know, really beating myself up in the quiet time of my own heart. And then what matters, though, is as we go through that reflection of all those words that I'm saying to myself, is that I have the deep knowing after 40 years. And it doesn't take 40 years to get there. I'm just saying that that's my length of time in practice of, wait a minute, what is my side of the street in this? What is my part in this? And then what is everyone else's part or other people's parts? And when you can do that, you can start to kind of fragment it apart and own your own part, oh, I had this intuition, as Maya Angelou says, when someone shows you who they are, believe them the first time. Oh, I had that hit. Mm-hmm. Oh, but I chose to ignore it. And it doesn't make me beat myself up. It's like, oh, wow, that's what I did. Kind of makes me feel good, which is weird. I'm in a very bad situation sometimes, but it makes me feel good. Oh, that's what happened. Or, you know, the other one, other beautiful quote of hers, she's one of my anchor teachers of all time.
If you're a listener of the show, you do know that.
You know, that's what's so beautiful about teachers and masters. I've never met her. Oh, I did meet her once. Excuse me. I do have a photo with her, actually. I did meet her once at a talk. But her words are so profound because they are so real and they hit to the heart of how we're trying to live our lives, I think. Mm-hmm. And she had such knowing and she had such a traumatic, difficult life. But anyway. And then the other thing is, when I know better, I do better.
Right.
Which is also not to be beating myself up. How come I didn't know this a long time ago? I kind of been through the same thing. But no, it kind of wasn't the same thing. It's a different iteration because I'm 68 years old today.
Right.
I'm doing what I'm doing in the moment. And I'm in a different place. So I think to start this conversation, there has to be, if you know, all of you listening, there has to be a place where you really start to think about having that deep foundation of love. And it's a journey, having that deep foundation of trust for yourself first and belonging to yourself first.
Yeah.
So that when the community out there or people out there disappoint me or betray me, it doesn't shatter my whole world.
It used to.
I just want to put that caveat. Yeah. It used to shatter my whole world.
Well, I mean, I think it happens to all of us, especially in our younger years when maybe we're not as practiced or strong within ourselves and our confidence is shattered by betrayal and chipping away at our trust. But I think what you said is so important, that having that strong connection with ourselves and love and belonging to ourselves, so that when these things happen in the external world, that, you know, as we talk about so often, what people say and do is not a reflection of who we are. It's a reflection of who they are. And, you know, not taking things personally. Betrayal is tricky to not take personally. And feeling like we've been betrayed or that someone has taken advantage of our trust does feel personal. You know, cheating, being cheated on, being lied to, breaking, you know, lying, all of those things. They're painful. And I think that's also important to remember. I don't know if this is true for everyone else, but you and I talk about often, Mom, that like trust is hard for us in general. I have never really considered myself a super trusting person because I've been let down in the past. And even of myself, it took me a long, long, long time to learn to trust myself and my judgments and my instincts. And so if you are someone that's been on a long journey towards building all kinds of trust, something happens and it makes you feel like, oh, I knew it wasn't safe to do this. I knew I shouldn't have trusted this person, or I knew I can't trust myself. And like we talk again so often about feelings and emotions, the feelings and emotions that arise in states of betrayal or when we've been, when our trust has been betrayed, hurt. But there are also feelings that we have to feel in order to move on. And when you and I were talking before we started recording, Mom, it was interesting to me that you were saying how in some of your more recent experiences with betrayal and feeling like your trust had been taken advantage of, rather than holding on to it so tightly and letting it bleed into, you know, more time than it needed maybe, or just, you know, take over your thoughts or your opinions or dictate how you feel about certain relationships, you had said to me that you kind of just let those feelings play out, like we talk about with, you know, Jill Bolte Taylor, and 90 seconds for a feeling to fully process in our bodies. I don't think it was 90 seconds for you, but it was proof that you can let even the most complicated of feelings play out and you can move on. And so can you talk about how in this stage of your life, how you've really worked through your feelings of betrayal and what maybe you've done differently in this stage of your life so that it hasn't completely taken you out or closed you off from people or certain experiences.
That's a lot. Definitely.
Sorry.
No, I'm excited about talking about this because first I just want to acknowledge when you said you have difficulty trusting because you've been through betrayals. I want to highlight that this research that you and I were talking about also that we came upon that 58% of people had experienced at least one low betrayal trauma. 65% of people had experienced at least one moderate betrayal trauma, and 47 of the participants in this study had experienced at least one high level of betrayal.
That's a trauma. Big, those are high numbers.
They're huge numbers. And what I want to say to that is you and I fall into the 47% of participants had experienced at least one high betrayal trauma. And why that can erode our trust as adults is you and I were both betrayed and traumatized as a child. And so I think that sets, if you're, for everyone listening, if you've had a very high level a very high level betrayal of trauma as a young person, as a child, or even a young adult, or in anywhere in life, actually, but especially when you're first setting out into the world, you know, as a child or as a teen or as a young person, it matters. It has a serious effect. And if I think about me having, you know, been sexually abused by my uncle as a young child, it set the stage for me not only trusting, but for me not having the ability to be able to discern who's trustworthy and who isn't. And this is where I think it all starts. How do we even cultivate the ability to discern who is trustworthy and who isn't? So we kind of close our heart a little bit, but we don't want to close our heart all the way because we want to belong. You see, so it's kind of that whole situation that we're caught in that we don't trust because we've been, you know, betrayed in the most high level way possible in trauma, but we want to belong. So how do you bring those two feelings together inside of yourself, especially as a young person? But then as you go along life, you know, your dad and I had our struggles and we ended up divorcing because of betrayal, because of infidelity. And so you were 3 years old. So there's another trauma for you as a 3 year old, even though you may not have realized it, it's trauma. Your mom and dad are no longer living together anymore. Even though we remain best friends, we remain close, it still is a trauma. And then I go along and get remarried. And the trauma of that 33-year marriage was huge. Just my my constantly working through the trauma, thinking it's all okay, and then going through another trauma and another trauma and another trauma and another trauma or another betrayal. And another trust issue all along the way of 33 years. So you are involved in that as well. Obviously, you're my daughter, and so you're in the midst of all the betrayals and the infidelities and all the things that were happening in that 33-year marriage. So you think of how that all affected you. But thankfully, along the way, I have my practice, my practice from 1984, my meditation, mindfulness, self-care, all the things that I've done in my life, practice doing all of the things. Which real in therapy, which helped me all along the way to get to where I am today. And you had, you know, the ability to do some of the same things and all the practice that you've developed over the years. So I lay that groundwork because that's how it goes. We have to have some sense of understanding that if we've been traumatized and if you're one of the 47%, this is really, really, really hard. So do not beat yourself up. Do not think that you're a lost cause. Do not think, why is this always happening to me, which is how I felt along the way. And so it can chip away at your self-worth, but understanding I'm laying this foundation on purpose so that don't let it. You are a worthy, extraordinary human being. And that's what I've realized about myself. When I go through a lot of pain and suffering, like what's happening now in our lives, you know, you had the flood in your condo a year ago. You are still not in. And it's a condo association right now that has caused us a tremendous amount of suffering and a tremendous amount of ordeal that is not necessary, but they're choosing to...
Some people just like to choose violence.
Yes, and we're living in the times that that can be acceptable sometimes. I for whatever reason, well, I know the reason because I've had so much practice with betrayal and mistrust and all of that. When you told me this a week ago that we are now going to be out another almost another year, It's an exaggeration, but you know, I like to exaggerate sometimes on pain and suffering.
Yeah.
I thought to myself, I can either get upset about this for another year and let it steal my joy, or I can think about, I am where I am. I am privileged to have had all of this practice of dealing with this, but I'm also privileged to, if I need to, I'll hire a lawyer mm-hmm. and combat it. So it's over. I have not allowed this betrayal, which has been huge, and this mistrust. So I'm saying all of this that once you move past experiencing some of these really high-level betrayals, we're always going to have some mistrust and betrayal.
Like lower-level betrayals.
Lower level, as I said before. But what I want to add to this before I end, what did happen to me, though, in having this mistrust and betrayal, you know, and a couple of other little ones along the way. We had to fire a couple people last year, all the things we've talked about, I think, in episodes in the past. What had happened to me as a result of this one, for a brief moment, which speaks to the recovery time that you were talking about, I got very paranoid.
Yeah.
I got very paranoid for a moment, and I didn't understand. I couldn't name it as paranoia, but I know I overheard you talking to someone, and I thought you were talking about me. And I remember I walked up to you and said, don't talk about me behind my back. And you're looking at me like, I wasn't. Mm-hmm. I said, yes, you were. And so we had a little conversation about that, and I started reflecting on what was happening for me. It was so much, I felt like it was so much betrayal and so much mistrust over the past year, especially last year, with many things that were happening. And then this last thing that just happened last week, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm 68 years old. Is this what's going to happen for the rest of my life? And wait a minute, you know, you don't usually act this way. Why are you acting paranoid? Mm-hmm. That every time now you're hearing your own daughter talk to another person, and you didn't even hear the conversation. You just heard maybe like three words, assuming the worst. So I'm sharing all of this, that it matters so much that you have a foundation of, I was able, you didn't get angry with me, and the other person didn't get angry with me. You were just kind of shocked and like, okay, what's happening here in this moment? And then I was able to look at you and think, wait a minute, this is something I need to look at. What is happening right here, right now? And those two things happen, and I think why it worked out wonderful for me, I feel, and for us, you and me, and the other person, obviously, it mattered a great deal because she matters a great deal to us, is that I was able to look at my side of it, and you were able to stay calm and say, Mom, what you're saying makes no sense, but I understand it because there's a lot of stuff happening.
Mm-hmm. Taking control of our health and wellness can be confusing and overwhelming. Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're definitely not alone. There are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now. And our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, our skincare, they all mess with our hormones. Then, of course, there's the natural hormonal changes our bodies go through. Perimenopause, menopause. And while it's natural, it doesn't mean we don't suffer through it. The good news is we don't have to suffer through any more of it anymore, because now we have Hormone Harmony, a formula made only with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. Now, here's the beauty of adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors, like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. That's why Hormone Harmony is perfect for women of all ages who are struggling with life-disrupting symptoms such as PMS symptoms, menopause symptoms, racing thoughts and low moods, poor sleep, occasional bloating, and no desire to be in bed next to someone, if you know what I mean. Yeah, Hormone Harmony can help with all of these things. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code BARBKNOWSBEST at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code BARBKNOWSBEST for 15% off today.
Hey friends, health, wellness, and aging are all things that we think about all the time. But did you know that your actual age might not be the same as your biological age? That's right, it's not just about your birth date. Your body could be older or younger than you think. And that's where True Diagnostic comes in. With their True test, you can discover your biological age, plus get insights into the things like your risk for heart disease, Alzheimer's, and even early mortality. And the best part? It's all done from the comfort of your own home. No prescriptions, no lab visits, just a simple test sent right to your door. I just ordered my TrueAge test. My mom did too. And we're super excited to see what it reveals about our health, our wellness, if we really are as young as we think we are or as healthy as we think we are. We're so excited for those results. By tracking your biological age, you can actually see how the changes you make, whether that's exercise, diet, or sleep, affect your health over time. It's all about taking those actionable steps to improve your well-being, which, as you know, are so important to the both of us. TrueAge Test is the same technology that's used and trusted by leading doctors, researchers, and health experts around the world. So think about it. What would it be like to know exactly how your lifestyle is impacting your body? True Diagnostic makes it easy to get started, offering simple, actionable insights that you can use right away. So, ready to find out your biological age? Right now, our listeners can get 20% off their entire order at truediagnostic.com by using the code BARBKNOWSBEST at checkout. That's True Diagnostic, TrueDiagnostic.com. Just use the code BARBKNOWSBEST to save 20%. Plus, if you subscribe, you'll get an additional 20% off the 50% discount. Discover your true age today.
One of the hardest parts of getting older is feeling like something's off in your body, but not knowing exactly what. It's not just aging. It's often your hormones, too. When they fall out of balance, everything feels off. But here's the good news. This doesn't have to be the story of your next chapter. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is an herbal formula made with science-backed ingredients designed to fine-tune your hormones by balancing estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol. It helps with common issues such as hot flashes, poor sleep, low energy, bloating, and more. With over 40,000 reviews and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. A survey found 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw an improved mood, and 100% felt like themselves again. Start your next chapter feeling balanced and in control. For a limited time, get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
So where I'm going with this is usually there's one person in your life that you know that that love is unbroken, that you know that that community, that belonging is there. Mm-hmm. And as I said, it has to start with you. So looking at my own self and knowing that I can trust myself, I do love myself. And then looking at you, Michelle, knowing that I trust you and I love you, even though we're not perfect and even though we betrayed each other in times, even though we've broken trust. I mean, that's just the way life is. Just because we're mother-daughter and love each other doesn't mean we're not going to have mistrust.
Hurt each other.
Yeah. So naming that paranoia, though, is huge for me. And that's why I brought it up in case any of you listening here have been there or could name that. It's like, wait a minute, this is crazy. This isn't real.
Well, I think that's, you know, a trauma response. You're going mm-hmm. to, you know, after yes. so many experiences of betrayal or being, you know, disrespected or hurt by someone, it's probably, you know, a chemical instinct or reaction to go into fight or flight and to have your guard up, especially if you're, you know, in a situation or a period where it's recently happened to you and you're kind of still healing from a betrayal, you know, you're going to be a little extra sensitive. So it made sense to me that you might be more prone to thinking that, you know, we're all out to get you, so to speak. But it was eye-opening for me when you had named it as paranoia, because I could really, you know, as, again, your roommate and someone who is so close to you, being my mom for my entire life, you know, I think I know you pretty well. And so kind of then being able to step back and look at some of our little, you know, disagreements or small things here and there that have come up, I'm like, oh, that's where she's coming from with this. She's still healing from a betrayal and she's a little paranoid right now. And like Dan Siegel says, name it to tame it, naming that paranoia as a consequence of a betrayal was huge, you know, for our relationship and for all of your relationships, because now you can start to choose to be more aware of it and try to manage it differently from the inside out.
And I think it was a huge moment for me to name it. That's how when I realized that's what was happening for me, it was like if I slowed down the feelings that I was having in that moment, because I named it pretty quickly. I named it in that same mm-hmm. day. We were at the airport, and I remember we were waiting for our flight because it had been delayed. And I feel like if I slow down that whole time, what was the most important thing after naming it, after me feeling confident enough or trusting myself enough that, wow, this is what's happening, without it breaking me down into some place where I couldn't even move forward? Because to call ourselves paranoid, or to call ourselves anything, but for me, paranoia, to me, was severe.
Yeah, I've never heard you use those words
never.
Before.
I don't even
That's
know if
not how
ever...
I would ever describe you. I would and have maybe a lot of other descriptors, but not paranoid.
I think it's why it scared me a little bit, because that's not me. But then I think then the most important next step was I had being vulnerable with you and our friend, the other person, and saying, I apologize for saying that whatever, you know, that you were talking about me or what blah, 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 whatever
having
that
the reaction.
Was, having the reaction that I had. I'm feeling paranoid and I'm going to work through that. And that was it. I didn't explain it. I didn't keep going, oh, I'm so sorry. Cause that can be my nature sometimes too. I named it. I owned it. It was very vulnerable of me then to say it to you all. And then it was, then I said about, wow, this is not you, Barb. What's happening here? And so I had a long reflection
talking to
period.
Yourself like mm-hmm. you do.
Which like I do. So I think, yeah, name it to tame it is important. And I also think having another person or being able to feel vulnerable, knowing that you can be vulnerable. And I think that goes with age. It goes with wisdom. It goes with practice. It goes with knowing when you can be vulnerable, when you can't. But as I have said this whole episode, that it really matters that you can be vulnerable with yourself and be okay with telling yourself that you're being paranoid, because to me that's a really strong word. And
for
my
sure.
mother was very, very, very paranoid, especially almost my whole life, but especially toward the middle to the end of her life. It was really hard to be around her because she didn't really connect with it. She had a lot of trauma and a lot of issues, and she didn't really connect with it. So I, especially because I was her person to connect with and stuff like that, as you've listened to in some of the episodes. So it was hard. She was so paranoid, and I got the brunt of it. So I know that word really strongly, and maybe that's why I can't relate to it myself, but maybe that's why it came up, because this thing that I did in that moment was very paranoid.
Well, and also, it was so great that you identified it for yourself, because certainly I couldn't say to you, Mom, you're paranoid. Mm-hmm. Like, that would sound like an attack, because...
Right.
Again, that's not something that you've ever described for yourself, or I've ever described for you. And, you know, I don't, when someone says to you, oh, you're being paranoid, or you're so paranoid, it's an attacking, you know, it's accusatory, it's attacking. It can be like below the belt, or even gaslighting, you know, oh no, that didn't happen, you're paranoid. And so in an instance like this, especially with betrayal, especially when you're rebuilding trust, it's like, you can't have other people, putting it on to you. You really have to unpack it for yourself.
Fantastic.
And be committed to being an extra scientist of your life, of the feelings that are coming up or their dynamics are taking place, even if they're ones that are not typical to you, like for paranoia for you. Or, you know, I think for me, with when I've had to rebuild trust, I don't lean into paranoia, or I haven't, but I just shut myself off. You know, I can be extremely introverted and a little hyper independent. And in some of my journeys towards healing and getting over difficult, painful situations and past relationships, I've just like chopped it off at the root and closed myself off and just like, I don't need anyone. I've become like hyper independent. And you know, that has its issues and challenges and cons as well. And so when you're in your healing phase and really committed to knowing yourself and connecting with yourself, tapping into some of those dynamics that are rising to the surface in response to this kind of trauma, and seeing how you can work with it so that it's not so severe or so rigid, so that you get to the place like where I was one day, where I'm like, wait, I'm totally closed off to people. This has gone too far. And like, you caught it pretty quickly in this situation, where you're like, wow, you came up to us and said, you know, if you're going to talk about me, do it in front of me, not behind my back. And then you said, wow, I'm being really paranoid right now, you know, in that moment. How can you identify these patterns so that they don't, you know, really mold and shape you for the worse as you heal?
And I think that, Michelle, when I look back on it, I identified that moment really quickly, because I feel like all of 2024, most of 2024 and the beginning of 2025, there's been a lot of, in my mind, trust issues and a lot of betrayal and a lot of, you know, I thought things were this way, and then it happens out that it's this way, and needing to take a step toward, needing to take action toward, actually, you know, remediating it. So I feel like I've been, like, this has been my teacher for the past maybe year, 2024, a little bit of 2025. Maybe let's say March 2024 to March 2025 is really a year. Like, this has been my teacher, feeling betrayed, feeling like I have to deal with trust issues often in that time period. And how do I do it? And what do I do? And I think I've tried to do the best I can, but there were some times in this past year that were really manic, really crazy, because I'm not a person. What I love about what you said is we are so opposite in that. When you are betrayed and when you are trying to deal with a trust issue, you close yourself off, as you said. You get quiet. You go insular. When I am betrayed, I go external.
Yeah.
I want to fix it.
You're the fixer.
I attack it. I'm the fixer.
I'm just the hermit. Fine. Well, you don't want to be in my life. You want to, you know, make things messy. I don't need any of you. I'm going to go in my cave with my cat.
And why that's so difficult is because, as I said, to open up the program,
yep,
is that we want to belong. So you can only do that for so long.
Until you're and just you literally start, alone.
Well, and then you, as you said you woke up, you wake up one day and say, wait a minute, I'm alone. Or yep, I don't want to be alone. And so it's, I love it though. And this is really important in this conversation, I think that we are opposites in that. And like, it's letting people be who they are, but it's also so cool. I think you go through your own way of how you deal with betrayal and mistrust, because that's what this whole episode is about. You know, that betrayal and mistrust doesn't have to break us. It can shake us, but it doesn't have to break us. You don't have to be a hermit and never trust and never get out into the world and love again. And I don't have to go ballistic,
yeah,
which is some of the words I use sometimes, because I go manic on, I got to fix this. I got to fix this. So of course in life, there's always a middle path or a middle way, or there's a combination of all the things involved. But to come back to the full circle in the beginning of the program, that, you know, we do want to belong. We do want to be in community. There are people that we want to have in our inner circle. And as Brené Brown, since you brought her up earlier, I love her so much. As she says, our inner circle is very, very small if we really look at it. And this has really helped me see my inner circle the past year. When I think about who my inner circle is very, very small. So when I look at rebuilding trust, when I look at being vulnerable, which is a huge part of rebuilding trust, when I look at forgiveness, when I look at all of the things of, you know, that incorporate feeling betrayed, when I look at the when I look at my marriage, my divorce of 2023 and my marriage, when I look at all of that, there is no rebuilding trust there. There is no coming back together. That's not my community. So I think it's being clear. You know, I wish my ex-husband well. I hope his life is fine. I don't wish him any ill will. But he really doesn't exist in my life anymore, because the betrayal and the trust was so broken. There's no need to forgive. There's just acceptance of what is. And it's been a huge relief to me when I've gotten to this place, and it doesn't happen overnight. But I really think if you can honor the fact that you are worthy, and it's been a long journey for me to honor this massive truth, I am worthy. And so in this situation of the marriage, it all happened. So now it's time for me to rebuild my place of belonging and my place in the world, or my place in people's lives. But it doesn't have to include him, and it won't include him. And it's fine. It makes no difference to me. Like, I have no feelings about it whatsoever, because I did the work of being able to separate. What does it mean? Forgiveness in this situation means that's not the point for me.
Well, forgiveness for you is just being able to just simply move on where it's not an issue.
Well, and for me, I turned that word forgiveness, and there are places where I practice forgiveness. Of course, it's very important because you don't want to hold on to what happened. That's the thing about forgiveness. We don't want to hold on to what happened. It doesn't mean forgetting. It doesn't mean, you know, we got to be all friends and everything has to be fine and fix the whole thing. I'm really becoming...
Well, because that's delusional.
Exactly. Well, unnecessary. Yes. And what I'm realizing is I'm kind of in the healing process of letting go of being a fixer.
I love that for
you. I know. And that's what's kind of happened here in this past week, too, why I feel like I'm on fire and so happy about this episode today.
I hope you can hear it, because I've had to say a few times off mic to just...
calm it down a little
bit. Well, no, just slow down because you were talking so fast because you are so fired up.
I am so fired up because I want people, so many people say to me, and I've felt this so much, I can't forgive. It's so hard to forgive. And so I've kind of reframed forgiveness in many places, but especially this one with my ex-husband with this divorce is it's not forgiveness for me. It's acceptance of what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it is, and not needing to go rehash who was right and who was wrong and who did this and who did that. I just know the betrayal and the mistrust and the infidelity and all the feelings that I had are real. And so it's acceptance of what happened and moving on. And I don't think the moving on has to entail that I have to forgive this person, bring them back into my life, do all the things.
No, because that's not forgiveness.
No, it's not forgiveness.
You don't, like... You can forgive the worst, I mean, if you want to, the worst kind of person in your life, if that's your journey. But that doesn't mean you have to bring them back into your life to in order to say, like, okay, I've forgiven you so much that you can be around me. No, that's just masochism. Masochism is the one where you hurt yourself, right?
Right.
Yeah, no, you don't need to do that. And no one would ask you to.
Yeah.
I think what you're saying is correct. Ultimate forgiveness from betrayal is acceptance and moving on and being free. And that's, you talk about freedom.
That's my deal.
All the time, especially in regards to your divorce and even just, you know, sub layers of that relationship and, you know, different relationships that stemmed from that divorce. Freedom from all of the dynamics that came from such a long chapter of your life. And, you know, having the acceptance and not the making it a priority to try and fix it. It's
exactly.
been huge for you. And I really have noticed that shift in you, I would say, you know, I guess in 2025, this past year.
Well, it takes what it takes.
You say that often.
That before. It takes what it takes. So not beating yourself up that it's taken me all this time.
No, you can't.
For someone that's been in recovery for 40 years that I would still be dealing with betrayal and infidelity and all of that in a marriage, and I had it, you know, way back. So, but it takes what it takes, and being able to let yourself be free of that notion that what is wrong with me that I didn't see this sooner, what is wrong with me that I even got involved. You got to let all of that, you have to let all of that go, and you always have to forgive yourself. That is the one person you must always forgive is yourself. You're doing the best you can in the moment with the information that you have, with the feelings that you have, with all of the things that are surrounding you, you cannot second guess yourself. You cannot. You have to be able to say, okay, I accept this. Now what? And what I wanted to say about this situation is, and the idea of forgiveness and acceptance, and I know this may be a whole nother episode, which I know we've done forgiveness before, because this has just come to me recently, is that, you know, being sexually molested by my uncle as a child, when I think about trying to learn how to forgive him, today I look at that as he's gone. He's dead. You know, he really is dead. He no longer exists
in human
form.
He was dead to you, but he's also dead.
Yeah, he's dead. So when I think about it today, I'm thinking, I never really forgave him. And maybe that was my hang up for so many years. Mm. Every therapist I talked to, they kept saying, when are you going to get let go of this, Barb? We need to talk about your uncle. And I keep thinking, oh my God, I'm tired of talking about my uncle. So when I think about it today, and I look back on it, I never really did need to forgive him, and I haven't. I haven't forgiven what he did, but he's dead. So now I accept the fact that it happened, and I've moved on with my life all of these years. It's easier to accept what has happened to us when the person is dead, I think, or when the person no longer exists.
But we can't wait for them to die.
But yeah, I love that you just said that. That's what I'm
thinking.
Because
there's a lot of people that I would be just... You know, this isn't nice to say, just TikTok, let's go.
No, so what I think is, can we actually look at it as, you know, I'm not, I don't have to forgive the person, but I do have to accept what happened. And can I just live my life knowing that they're no longer a part of it? So they don't really exist. So kind of work through the feelings of that, or kind of work through the energy of that more than anything else. It, for me, it's been the energy, which actually, you know, obviously are connected to feelings in a way, but the energy of it. So just the intention of having that, and I think you said you've seen it in me, the intention of having that, we live in a small community here, so I do see him, doesn't ruffle my feathers anymore because he doesn't really exist in my life, if that makes any sense. And I'm saying all of this, and it's so hard. I am not saying it like, okay, you guys, easy breezy. It's so hard, but having that intention and staying true to yourself in your life, I think being older, being 68 years old, knowing that I have less years left than what I've already lived, and using the wisdom that I've gained by reflecting back on my life, but also being so connected to and never wanting to abandon myself. I may have been abandoned by other people. I may have been betrayed by other people. People may have hurt my trust, but I never want to break the trust with myself, and I never want to abandon myself, because if I take it back to way back in the day when we talked about this on an episode, you know, that the last thing, the number one regret that people have when they're dying, you know, my best friend Mary was in hospice care. I mean, she wasn't a hospice nurse. She was a volunteer at hospice. Her other best friend was a hospice nurse. Was the number one regret is I didn't live the life that I wanted to live. I led a life that other people expected me to live.
And Bronnie Ware, hospice nurse, did a whole study on that.
Yes. And that's been implanted in my being since I heard that decades ago. And I, now that I'm 68, you know, I can't let go of, I can't let go of it. It's kind of rising its energy inside of me. Barb, is this how you, do you want to be on your deathbed saying I didn't live the life that I wanted to live? Meaning I didn't live myself true to myself and loving and still caring and taking care of myself. I was so worried about what other people thought of me. I was so angry, or I was so paranoid, or I was so unforgiving. I don't have to be forgiving, but I do need to be accepting of the present moment and move on and live my life to the best that I can with the teachings that I've learned.
So a few things.
I know, I'm sure we need to wrap up.
Well, yes, but also in, you know, picking up in some of the things that you were saying, going back to trust, and you were talking about Brené Brown. And I know I think we've talked about this in another show, but she has a lot of great work about trust, obviously, and work about a lot of amazing topics. But I always love, and I'm paraphrasing this because I couldn't find the quote to actually quote it correctly, that she talks about trust with, you know, not freely giving your trust or sharing personal, you know, emotional, deep parts of your life with people who haven't earned your trust. And I think that's an important part of healing, is the discernment of who to share with. Because sometimes we, you know, the pendulum of my life with trust has swung to both extremes. I've been too trusting and overshared, and then shared things with people that hadn't earned my trust, and then that trust was betrayed. You know, maybe I've shared a secret about something and it's been shared to someone else who, whatever, or, you know, someone, I shared a feeling with someone and then they, you know, disregarded those feelings because those people hadn't earned that trust. And so I think if you're rebuilding trust, remember too to cultivate the discernment of who can you actually trust. And, you know, I think in the spirit of seeking belonging, sometimes we are too quick to share or overshare to build that trauma bond or that quick bond with someone. I've had it so many times where maybe I've just met someone and, you know, I'm feeling a connection, but I don't know them. And I'll share something, you know, a little too personal. And then I'll get home and I'm like, why did I share that with them? Man, I hope that wasn't a mistake. I hope, you know, that doesn't get betrayed. And you feel really icky when that happens. And, you know, that is a practice of starting to become more discerning with how you share about your life and who you share, you know, sensitive or personal things with people. So I will say that piece, when you rebuild your trust, it's like getting super clear and really like being a little bit militant. If you're someone like me who, you know, if you want to really just make a new situation feel better, you know, oversharing to speed in the connection, don't. And just, you know, be a little more guarded for the sake of your own well-being, so that you're not putting yourself in situations where your trust is going to be betrayed. And then secondly, what I was picking up on, you know, since you were talking about how you are in your 60s, betrayal is something you've dealt with your whole life. You've been in healing for this, but this situation, you know, that you've been dealing with and the feelings that have been coming along with it have felt a little different. And I'm wondering, before we close out, if you could just speak to, because the quote from Pema Chodron came to my mind of, nothing goes away until it teaches us what we need to know. And this seems like an interesting concept of that, where you've been given so many different kinds of betrayal in your life and your trust has been etched away in so many different ways. And now you're at this place now where, do you think maybe you've gotten what you needed to know from it?
This is so beautiful, Michelle. I love you so much. And first of all, I love Pema Chodron. She's one of my favorite teachers as well.
I knew you'd like that reference.
Yeah, I love her. And here's how I would answer that question. I believe you were talking about jumping in too quickly and gradually being vulnerable with people and people earning trust, as Brené Brown talks about. And what I've discovered, and this just came to me in the past week, that there isn't all or nothing. There isn't just everyone's all trusting and or no one is.
Yeah.
And so I think I've had this mentality over the years. But it's sneaky. I didn't think that I would have identified it as this, but this is what I've learned. And maybe this will help me, as Pema says, this will help me in moving forward, that I've learned what it is that I need to learn. Not that I won't encounter it again. You know, life is difficult and things happen, but I think this has really changed me, that it's not all or nothing. I think I get into this mindset because of my fixing mentality or because of my, my lack of trust and love as a child, and then wanting it so badly to have it maybe now as an adult. I don't know what all transpired in all of the trauma in all of my past years, but what I do know today is it feels like there are levels of trust. Mm-hmm. There are levels, like you and I are on level, like the highest level you could possibly have. I can be vulnerable with you. I can say I'm
top
paranoid.
Tier trust.
Top tier. And that's very rare. Mary and I, my best friend, we were on that level and she passed away. You know, it's difficult. It's difficult to find one person in your life that's on a level of top tier trust. But I think I've sought out, just like you were saying, maybe in a little different way than you did. I think I've done a similar thing though. Like, you know, I'll meet someone and I want them to be that top tier. And maybe they haven't earned it, or maybe I don't have enough experience with them, but I want it to be because I really like the person, or I want them to like me, or whatever it is. So I've jumped in a little too fast. And that's been an issue the past year or two with me, especially.
That's been a source of some of your betrayal.
Yeah,
for sure.
It's been a source of suffering and sadness. So I think I've realized, like, there are levels of trust. And some people I can be completely vulnerable, which is you. And others I'll share certain things with. But I'll know that that's okay. They don't have to be like the most trustworthy person in the world, because I'm not expecting them to, because I'm not feeling that. You know, it's kind of that thing. If I'm not feeling it, don't do it. But then don't expect it of that other person either.
No.
So you're asking me how what's changed is I'm kind of feeling like, okay, that's who they are. But this is who I am too.
Being realistic about situations instead of idealistic.
Yeah. So maybe one of the words of this episode, with the idea of betrayal and building trust and dealing with trust issues, is acceptance.
Yeah.
Like not trying to make something that it's not, really believing that this is the way it is and that's okay. I still love the person, but I don't have to give them everything.
Right.
And they don't have to give me everything.
And it's not like you're punishing them.
No.
It's just...
it's the truth.
It's how... it's a boundary.
Yeah. It's... you just... that's the word. I'm learning... Boundaries have always been an issue for me because
they have.
Boundaries were crossed when I was a young child. When boundaries are crossed when you're young.
And we've never been taught boundaries until this generation.
Exactly. Thank you, Nedra Tawab, for teaching us about boundaries. She's been my greatest teacher on boundaries. So, yeah, if you want to know anything about boundaries, go follow Nedra Tawab and get her book.
We'll link it in the show notes.
Yes. So, yeah, I think it's about boundaries and being okay with it. And I think the thing that I've noticed the most in me is when I realized in that moment when I thought you were talking about me, what I realized is that, and you weren't, what I realized is that you didn't, in that moment, even if you were, you weren't betraying me. It was just what it is. You were just having a conversation and I just wasn't there, but you were, you know what I mean? It's kind of a weird thing. I've done the same thing. I've had different conversations with people and it wasn't what the other person thought it was. So I think not putting myself on such a high pedestal of, you know, that everybody needs to be trustworthy and everybody needs to do what they're supposed to do. And if not, I'm going to fix it. I'm going to fix them. I'm going to fix it. It feels like I've been in a cycle maybe all these years of I really like someone or I really want to have a deep relationship with someone. And so when something happens, when it's hurtful, small or big, it can be really small too. I'm like, oh my gosh, how'd this happen? This is not okay. What, you know, it's like.
Well, that is your perfectionistic side.
It is. It's my perfectionistic side. It's my fixer side. So now what I've learned to go answer your question about what Pema says, which I believe so deeply, is, and I went on a retreat when she said that as well. She talked about that during the retreat years ago. What I've realized, I think what I'm going to do differently moving forward and make the attempt and put all my efforts into is having levels of trust and not expecting anyone to be at that deep level that Brené talks about until they've earned it, until I've really allowed myself to be that way as well.
Yeah, and I think that deep level, like that top tier trust that you and I have, even though we do hurt each other and we go through those complicated feelings, in one of our recent conversations and kind of, you know, with some of the paranoia and you thinking that I was talking about you, what really helped the situation between us was, you know, I said to you, I'm like, I'm always operating under the assumption and with the baseline and with the foundation that you and I love each other. We care about each other. That's never going to change. And nothing that can happen will change that. And so, you know, if you hear me talking about something and you think I'm talking about you, it's not because I'm trying to hurt you or that I'm trying to sabotage you or that I'm trying to be cruel and vice versa. And so if we can just remember that baseline, then we won't be so quick to getting our feelings hurt. But that's because we're at that top tier. You know, and again, it's like that discernment to know who's at what level and who is safe and who is trustworthy to share with and to be vulnerable with and who maybe you have more of a surface level interaction with. And maybe those select few that really get that unfettered access. And I remember when I was in high school talking to my therapist, she said, you know, there's only a handful probably that you can really trust. And at first when I heard that, I'm like, that sounds kind of grim and a little maybe exaggerative. But, you know, as I've lived and experienced, it's true. And it's not to shut the world out. It's, again, to discern.
And I'll just say, you're right, Michelle. And I'll just say with what your therapist said, what I've learned by that, though, is, yes, there's a handful that have that unfettered top-tier trust, but there's a whole spectrum in between that that I've forgotten about.
It's not black and white. It's gray.
There's a whole spectrum in between. There are going to be people that I'll have a good time with, have fun with, and share certain things with, but there's not an all or nothing. And that's what I've learned the most. There's not an all or nothing and that it's going to be okay if someone in between, you know, betrays me or something because I didn't expect it to begin with. So I just wanted to end with that and maybe end with this little nugget for all of you to marinate on or just to think about that freedom for me doesn't necessarily mean forgiveness. It means acceptance. Freedom for me, what's helped me this past year, especially with it being a year of betrayal and trust, I feel like, is that I'm accepting what is, and then now what can I do? And how do I move forward with the people in my life in that year that I need to move forward with? And some doesn't mean I have to forgive, as I said before. It just means I have to accept it happened and move on, because it's not a reflection of me. It's a reflection of the situation and how they responded. So thank you for this, Michelle. I love you. I love all of you listening.
Thanks, Mom, for, as always, taking your trauma and putting it into the show.
Well, I don't know if all of you realize this. It is a real blessing. We talk about this, but from the bottom of my heart, I really appreciate deeply that we can have this platform and that we can have this ability to share all of this. It means the world. Mm-hmm. Helping myself and helping humanity and doing this work is why I came to this planet. And I love all of you so much.
Yes, I love you. And we love you too, Mom. So I hope that this episode was helpful for any of you who are, you know, having some challenges, rebuilding trust. You know, think about what my mom said of, you know, forgiveness isn't a condoning what happened. Forgiveness is acceptance and finding freedom within yourself. And remembering that other people's actions and behaviors aren't a reflection of who you are and your ability to be loved and accepted and to belong. And, you know, really start to practice and strengthen that muscle of discernment of who are the people who you want to trust in your life, who are the ones that have earned it. And knowing that, just like with every other challenge in life, even betrayal can be an opportunity for growth. You know, obviously feel the feelings. It's painful. It's, you know, it's not something that you have to gloss over. No feeling is ever final. But I think from every painful moment in my past, I've learned something from it. And I have gratitude looking backwards. So just, you know, remember to keep loving yourself and being committed to having that connection with yourself, knowing that, as we say so often, you can't control things that happen in the external world. Everything is always changing, and we can manage our reactions and responses to it. So I hope that this was helpful for you all. But as always, let us know, send us a message, connect with us on social media at Peaceful Barb, at Michelle Maros, at Barb Knows Best Pod. That's always the best way to stay in touch, ask us questions, or even request a future topic from us. If you haven't yet, make sure you're liked and subscribed to the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts so that you're always up to date with each new episode as it drops. If you're loving the show, give us a 5-star rating on iTunes and Spotify and leave us a review. We're so grateful when you do so. There's a few links in our show notes for our Substacks if you're interested in checking us out over there. And stay tuned. We are going to have some exciting announcements within the next month. I know we've been teasing some things for a little while, but the light is at the end of the tunnel. It's coming. So be on the lookout for some exciting announcements coming soon. Thank you so much again for listening. Thank you for being a part of this community. Thank you, Mom, as always, for being such a beacon of light in this difficult world. And we will chat with you next week because, as we know, Barb knows best. Bye.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.